Crosstalk Radio is sponsored in part by Love Work Recording Studios. Whether you need recording or mixing and mastering services, Love Work is all about quality and customer service. Check them out at theloveworkstudios.com or give them a call at 678-953-2170.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy Double ATL in the building. My big homies, Big Pudge and Steph Swig. Crosstalk Podcast, you dig?
Talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephant in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
Crosstalk Radio.
Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. We got fans from Japan, all the way to the Netherlands.
We coming through like it's season two. Hit you with the crosstalk, yeah, you know how we do. Changing the world one show at a time. We the salt of the earth, bringing light to your mind. Universal conversations. We appreciate the love we got back from every nation. Really, it's an honor that y'all listen to us. Cause Big Pudge and Steph Swig will give it to you. Transparency, spiritually, life lessons and politics, the ultimate greed. What I'm saying ain't no boundaries. When we at this table, bringing awareness to the things we see. So rest yourself and enjoy the show. You're guaranteed to be intrigued by this crosstalk radio.
Oh, oh. We got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. We got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you back to a dope, dope episode of Crosstalk Radio, your favorite podcast in the whole wide world.
Whole wide world.
This is your man, Steph Swig.
This is your man, Big Pudge.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
We appreciate you. We love you. You're awesome.
You are awesome.
We honor you.
Thank you, thank you. Good to be back.
Y'all helped us get the iHeartRadio, man.
Yes, baby. We still on iHeartRadio high.
We still on that high.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, man, what's going on with you, Pudge? Good.
Yeah, man, I'm good, man. You know, days, you know, every life, you know, life. But other than that, you know, I'm not gonna complain. I could, you know, but I'm gonna be grateful for the things that I do have right now.
Amen to that.
How you been, man?
I've been good, man. I ain't got no complaints, man. My complaints was that job we did last week or this week. But at the end of the day, we made good money.
Yeah, sure.
Helped the people out, so we're good to go, man.
Hey, if you need any kind of plumbing work, you need any kind of, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to say pipes laid.
I was in trouble when I say laid.
Right, exactly. So. I wanted to say, if you want to need any pipes laid, then, you know what I'm saying?
Call me a punch.
But we're talking about plumbing with water.
We're literally talking about plumbing, man.
Yes, we are.
On the
really
side,
are.
Carpentry on the side, painting on the side. Man, that's funny.
This is messing how the world has changed certain words,
man,
to where you can't just say literal stuff.
Exactly.
Something different.
Anyway, man, we got some great news to tell you, man, and some cool stuff. So first and foremost, let me do some quick shout-outs real quick. Because what happened was, I'll take the blame on this one. I was supposed to do something, and our show got cut a little short. So that's why y'all on the last episode, y'all heard y'all didn't have any shout-outs. And I know certain people probably gonna text me, email me, and say, hey, I didn't hear the shout-outs. For whatever reason, I wonder if people, Pudge, I'm starting to wonder if people just skip to the shout-outs.
Go straight to the show to see if they hear their name or they state to
I don't get comments about the shows, man. I get comments when I don't shout-out certain people. So I wonder if did they shout me out this time. I've been wondering if that's what's happening.
Right.
Anyway, we gotta do our quick shout-outs real quick. Shout-out to my wife, Brenda. Shout-out to my mom down in Forsyth, Georgia. Shout-out to Brandy. Shout-out to Alicia. Shout-out to Atlanta, Georgia. Stone Mountain, Georgia. My son, Ramil. My daughter, November. Riverdale, Georgia, McMinnville, Oregon, Boardman, Oregon, Ellenwood, Georgia, Eastlake, Florida, Conyers, Georgia, Barnett, England, baby, Morrow, Georgia, Torlock, California, Palmetto, Georgia, Rex, Georgia, Colchester, England, Laguna Vista, Texas, San Jose, California, Fayetteville, Georgia, Santa Clara, California, Windham Hand, England, San Francisco, California, Santo Domingo, in the Dominican Republic, baby, McDonough, Georgia, Gilbert, Arizona, Lawrenceville, Georgia, Lithonia, Georgia, Psych Lower Saxony, for those who don't know, like myself, that is in Germany, baby. So we are worldwide once again at Crosstalk Radio. I'm about to say, this is your man Steps. We're about to close out again, but this is Crosstalk. So I'm going to make up for that. At the end of this episode, y'all will get totally different shout outs. These are the shout outs that went out
last week. This last week's shout outs.
Yeah, so what I was saying in the last episode, and I'm going to continue it because it got cut off, and I was in this whole dope spiel about my public service announcement. So what I want y'all to understand, Sanctuary is a Christian nightclub in Atlanta. We've been doing it since 2007. So I took a 5-year hiatus to take care of some things, and we got our comeback party coming in, coming this weekend. This weekend. So my concern for the people out there, not myself, is that y'all about to miss something dope. I don't want y'all to sleep on it. If you're in Atlanta, near Atlanta, got people in Atlanta, they need to know about this event. This is an event that's been 5 years in the making. This is an event that you don't want to miss. This is an event you don't need to miss. This is an event that if you miss it, you will have to go to therapy because you will be depressed for a long time when you hear the things that took place at this event. There's a lot of surprises we got going on, but it's a very powerful event. It's a reunion. A lot of people coming back together that haven't performed together in a long time. It's going to be a powerful movement. It's going to be a dope event. It's going to be people going to be talking about it. People going to be Facebooking live, but people going to talk about it for ages to come. I do not want you to miss it. I do not want you to kick yourself about it. I don't want you mad and depressed because you could have, should have, would have took it off of work or got a babysitter or whatever. So you got a little bit of time. So make sure you're in the building on October 18th, baby.
18th.
Make sure you're 18th. In the building. Do I need to say more, Pudge?
You shouldn't have to say no more. You know.
I shouldn't. But
you know what? You know what?
Go ahead,
I feel like We got another show. We got another show coming out before.
This is the one they're going to hear.
Oh, man.
Before.
See,
when y'all hear the show, it'll be this coming weekend.
Dang, so maybe we can...
let them know something.
Nah, I want to give them a couple of snippets. Just like little 10, 20-second snippets of some of the artists going to be. Give them a little feel of what they... You know, we look guys, we're you know, this is recorded, pre-recorded, which y'all already know. So we're going to see if we can get our man Rod to give y'all a couple of snippets at the end of this actual episode.
You gotta put him on the spot.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So what, we like 2-3 minutes in, we gonna hope he listened to this far when he editing the show.
I can ask him to do it when I email, because, I can ask him to email.
Just to give him a tease. Just give him a little, and like literally, give everybody 4 bars, you know what I'm saying, per artist. That's a total of like 30 seconds.
Let me tell y'all what I can tell y'all about the show. I can tell you who's on and I can tell you what's about to happen, but it's still gonna be some more surprises.
And if you don't know, if you don't know some of the people you're naming, Google them. Trust me, it's going to benefit you.
Yes. So anyway, we got Steph Swig is going to be hosting, by the way. That's yours truly once again. Hosting with my dope co-host, Erica Cumbo. She's going to be hosting. Promise is coming. And she's performing. St. Clair from Gas Stars is performing. Sick Flow is performing. Formerly known as Ricardo Flow. Double's performing. OB1BA is going to be the Trey Peace. E Hood's gonna be up in the building. Dice Gamble, First Lady of Holy Hip Hop's gonna be there.
Right.
Ty Scott King, all the way from California, is coming out to be a part of this event, y'all. So do not sleep. If folks come all the way from California to be here, you got to be here. You will not get this lineup anywhere else. You will not get this event anywhere else. You will not get these performances anywhere else. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity for you.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you, you cannot find a show like this anywhere else on the planet.
Not gonna happen.
So this time, you actually had the address. You have the heads up. You have the address. 2260 Lake Harbin Road, Morrow, Georgia. Doors open at 9 p.m. Show starts at 9:30 p.m. The admission is $10. That's still considering who I just mentioned on the flyer.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody on this worth way more than that. So we're giving it to you at the $10 price so everybody can come and so you won't have any excuses. We have a reunion happening. Platinum Souls will do a reunion performance one time only. First performance together in 10 years.
Wow.
This is a big deal, y'all. So make sure... Yeah, huge, enormous, gigantic, ginormous. Every kind of word I can describe how big of a deal this is, it's amazing. Look, my son doing mind-blowing things. It's mind-blowing. People are freaking amazed at the lineup we have. So this is going to be a powerful event, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. If you want to see Ty Scott King and Ricardo Flow perform as Platinum Souls, one night only, one roof only, you know where to be. 2260 Morrow. 2260 Lake Harbin Road and Morrow. If you need any more information, feel free to email us at crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com, thesanctuaryclub.com, thesanctuaryclub@gmail.com. Any kind of form or fashion, you can get in touch with us, man. Mill, give him the number. My son answers the phone when y'all call. He's our office manager, so Mill, tell him the phone number. 678
489 6494.
See, I'm glad he said, because I already had it backwards in my head. So again, 678
489-6494.
So if you have any more information, you need any more information, that's the voice you'll be hearing on the other end of the line. So call us up and check us out. That's enough for the plug for Saint Trooper. Make sure it's not even a plug, but it's more of a public service announcement. I am concerned that people are going to underestimate the powerful event that's about to take place. This is going to be history in the making. That's not a speculation. That is facts, people, all day, every day. Anyway, moving forward, we have a special guest in the studio. My son Ramil is in the building. Y'all give it up for Ramil.
Give it up for.
So this topic with today, he's going to host today. I'm done, Pudge. Go ahead. He's going to host.
Wait, yes, this is awesome.
No, Slick, you got it.
Did he say swing?
Slick, you got it. Okay. So thank you for allowing me to host my own show today. Okay, cool. No, seriously, we're talking about bullying today. It's a topic we never really talked about on the show. And I had a friend of mine who had an issue in school, and I asked her, could I talk about it? Because it felt like, it just, when I heard her story, it was something like, we need to talk about that on the show. And her post was, it was a simple post she put on Facebook. She was upset because she felt like she had to buy her daughter some Jordans in order to keep the kids from picking on her in school. So she took her hard-earned money and bought her daughter some Jordans to prevent people from picking on her kid in school. And so when I talked to her about it, I just told her I want to do the same topic. Would she be okay with me sharing a story? She said, yeah. So that's why I'm bringing it out, that I shared her story. Because, of course, I want her to hear the episode. So shout-outs to you for giving the story and allowing me to do it and, keeping it simple. So I got my son in here because a lot of times different perspectives are a lot better than just me and Pudge, our 40-year-old selves, talking about stuff that we went through. But it's a totally different generation, totally different situation.
Yeah.
And my perspective was a little bit different than even Pudge's. And so I brought my son in here to share, because I raised my kids to not worry about what people think about them. So I don't cater to that kind of stuff. And it's not a shot at any way you would have handled it, anybody handled it.
Right.
For me, I didn't know how I would have handled it. I don't think I would handle it the way my friend handled it, but, she felt like she needed to handle it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You got anything before I keep on going?
No, go ahead.
So my thing is, my concern is when, and this is my philosophy all day, every day. I believe that we're individuals, and I believe that I don't think you should cater to keep people from picking on you. Based on, my thing is, if you think it's cool, then you rock what you rock. You be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you buy that stuff for your kids to keep them from being picked on, I think that's kind of you shutting down their boldness and saying, there is something wrong with me. I have to cater to other people's feelings or other people's opinions. Well, if you live for people's opinions, that's weak.
Mm-hmm.
That's whack. I don't raise my kids that way. And it's not a shot to anybody. That's just that's my philosophy, and that's how I raise my kids.
Right.
And I think when you do that, you allow them to be free thinkers. And I think the most successful people are the people who don't care about what people think. When you get to be a celebrity,
mm-hmm.
they dress weird as all. They don't care what people think at all.
And I think that's true.
And I think that stuff is whack. I think it's like, hey, Craig, I can't believe you wore that fishnet shirt and, this whatever. I remember Will Smith came on stage with it looked like a cow jacket. And the first thing he said, Jada made me wear it. It was like a blazer, but it's like black and white. It's fur. It was funny. He said, Jada made me wear it. So I thought that was hilarious. Uh-huh. But at the same time, it's like I just firmly believe that if you're starting to cater to the bullies, then it's not gonna make anything better.
Right.
And again, you're telling your kid that you need to conform so you don't get picked on. That's not a free-minded person. Whether you're doing it intentionally or not, I think that's what you're kind of teaching them just by action. I know it's not your intentions,
right?
But I know other parents that, there's not just one person. I know a lot of parents that do that. Mine did not do that,
right?
And because of that, I grew a little bit differently.
Right.
But also, what I like. But also, I grew up in a city where you couldn't be yourself. I grew up in a city where you got picked on for being unique and original and had thoughts that was outside of the box. They try to choke the life out of you,
You said you grew up in a city where they would try to.
Yeah, where they would. They tried to choke the life out of you, your dreams and everything.
Right.
Me and Double from the same city, he'll tell you the same story. But it's like, I was always a smart kid, and I never had a problem with being smart, but everybody else did.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like even the teachers would kind of choke that out of me. Like, I wanted to be an astronaut, and that's not something people in the hood typically want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But the teachers weren't supportive. Some of them were, but most of them weren't. It's the whole atmosphere of the city that was almost like frowned upon.
Oh, gotcha.
Everybody had to be hard or whatever, and it's stupid. Like, most people that's like that, where they are. The same story, dead or in jail. But either way, point being, I was free enough to be myself.
Right.
And because of that, I became who I am now, just outspoken, bold. Doing me, I don't dress up unless I want to.
Right.
But the point being, I never dressed in school to cater to what other people thought about me.
Right.
Now, there were times where I was bullied based on what I wore. There's times I was bullied just for being a smart kid. But the thing is, the only time it bothered me for being bullied other than it being annoying was if I already wasn't feeling my outfit.
Somebody kind of just came behind and made you feel a little...
Yeah, I felt insecure. Right. I felt bad, but it never made me want to go kill myself or, hide and, do that stuff like kids are doing now, you know?
Right,
but also, I grew up in a generation when we stood up for ourselves. That's what I was taught. Stand up for yourself. Don't let nobody do you that way. But I'm thinking when you teach people to cater, you kind of teach them to be timid and not stand up for themselves because it doesn't change just because they get older. Mm-hmm. You still get bullied in the workplace. There's bullies in the workplace. Bullies in the home. There's men being bullied by their wives right now.
Right.
But either way, it's a whole wide variety of bullying. I'm just talking about it on a grand scale. Mm-hmm. But in this particular instance... When I just feel like you breed an insecurity when you feel like you need to buy your kids certain things just so they don't get picked on. Now, if you buy stuff for your kids because you want them to have it or you think it's dope or your kids like it, mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But I think that's just the error in judgment, in my personal opinion. Like I said, you can raise your kids how you want to raise them, but that's how I would handle it. That's how I think I would handle it. And so, Pudge, I know you had a different opinion or different perspective.
up north, where I grew up from, the way you dress, you're from Connecticut, I'm from Jersey. So growing up in the 80s, mm-hmm. it was all about being different. It was all about having a different style. Like you say, Ramel, dressed like old school. He would have been kind of the flyest cat on the block because he's so different from what everybody else is wearing. But growing up north, everybody looked to see how your style was so different from everybody else's style. Now, that was in the 80s up north. Mm-hmm. I moved to Atlanta in 88 and came to find out that everybody rocks the same style. And if you're not rocking that style, then you're lame, you're square, you don't fit in. Example would be, back then, everybody was rocking K-Swiss back then. K-Swiss was the Jones back then. And, so if you weren't having K-Swiss, Jordans, Nikes, Pumas, and stuff like that, then, it wasn't, you wasn't, it don't matter what your outfit was whack just because your feet wasn't tight.
Mm-hmm.
So I ain't know nothing about bullying and none of that other stuff, but my mom and my pops had split. My mom moved down here, so we was getting harassed, so just because we didn't have the nicest clothes that they had down here. Mm-hmm. So I remember one day, man, me and my sister were telling my mom about how we getting picked on and whatnot because our shoes and whatnot. So I came home from school one day, man. My mom had some BKs sitting on my bed, man. Some British Knights. Yo, I was the happiest kid in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Went to school the next day and got clowned. I got clowned. And I got clowned because I stepped up into school like you couldn't tell me nothing about my kicks.
Push. I don't want to cut you off, man, but you remind me of a scene from a movie, man. And you're going to laugh when I tell you the scene. You remember I'ma Get You, Sucker?
Yeah.
When dude went to prison?
Uh-huh.
And he came out, and he had that pimp outfit on. He had them high shoes. And he thought he was a
stiletto's,
yeah. Yeah, his walk is.
And he started riding.
Everybody started laughing. And then he ran, and one of the heels broke.
Broke it all on Fisto when he came out. Yes.
I'll show you the movie. But that was hilarious, man. Yes, that part.
When you see that part, that was me when I went to school that day. Because dude stepped out of jail like you couldn't tell him nothing.
Yeah, because he went in the 70s, so he came out in the movie takes place like in the late 80s. So he went in like in the early 70s because he came out the pimp hat, everything. So all his stuff he thought was cool had been dated.
Outdated. At least 12, 13 years outdated. So he was looking like somebody's uncle. A pimp uncle, you know what I'm saying?
He was fly.
Yeah, he
going
was fly.
Going by that standard, by his standards, but...
But you couldn't tell me nothing. I was fly, too. And I got clowned on like it wasn't... It was so bad to the point where I just started fighting. I just started swinging on people, you know what I'm saying? Like, there was nothing else to do after that but fight, you know what I'm saying? And of course, that was my background anyway, so that's all I knew how to do. But that's how I dealt with my version of bullying.
Mm-hmm.
Because... sadly, my mom never did get to the point where she could just buy me everything mm-hmm. I wanted when I was in high school. So trying to keep up with the latest trend in the South is costly. You know what I'm saying? And my mom didn't have no bread like that. So, people stopped bullying me because I started knocking folks out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But if it was the other way around, my mental state might have been completely somewhere else. But the whole point was, I was so my mom bought me the sneaks because her and my pops had split. They're in the middle of a huge separation. We are now 800 miles away from my father. And the last thing that she has to be concerned, last thing she's trying to be concerned about is her kids being bullied when she went from a two household income to a one household income. And she's raising four kids all on her own when she ain't never had to do that before. So to me, it's kind of like a catch 22. Like, I definitely agree with you saying as far as like, don't allow what people say and think about you to care to the point where you got to go buy your child something just so people won't talk about it. On the other end, it's like, what was that person going through with their child? Do their child have autism? And is bullying going to really tip them overboard? Yeah. You know. So I guess it's one of those things where it's like, I guess it's depend on everybody's situation and how sensitive the actual situation is. And the line is sensitive itself because you have parents who hear about bullying and their child could just come home and be like, man, they teased me something today. And you just run out there and go get something. But you haven't really seen if it's in depth, if it's really, your child ain't been through nothing. Your child's had a happy, glorious life. Mm-hmm. And the fact they just said that you done ran out and got some sneaks because you just intimidated or scared.
Nah, I'll say that's never happened to me. Mm-hmm. My parents never ran out and got me something because...
No, mine's either.
But, like, I just remember two stories. Like, one, I remember I got picked on for dressing bummy in school, but I liked what I wore. It didn't bother me. Mm-hmm. I was, like, in, I think, first or second grade. And I remember my stepfather came to school. He had his, like, dope yellow sweatsuit on. Everybody's like, how your stepdad fresh? And you all bummy hair. Uh-huh. And the other time I would get picked on because of my hair, because my mom would cut my hair. And most times she did okay, but... Well, what happened is she started experimenting on my head, right? And I would
see, your mom was for the reason for that bullying on that one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I would never know it. That pissed me off. I would never know until I got to school and kids started telling me, like, yo, where'd you get your hair cut? Like, my mom cut it. Oh, because I thought she went to New Haven because they do them V cuts. Like, she cut like a V in the back of my head one time. I didn't know until I went to school. Like, I really didn't know. I had like this big old, like, V, like a V cut.
Mom's just setting you up.
And I go to school and they started talking about me. And the bad thing is, I couldn't get mad at first until I realized, what the hell are y'all talking about?
Right.
Like, I'm like, touch the back, like, yo, I'm mad, like, I'm on fire. Right. I'm like, Mom, why'd you do that to me? Like, what? So, yeah, being picked on is not fun. So, you don't want to be picked on. But, like I said, had I felt cool about it, it wouldn't bother me.
Right.
And then, but everybody always felt like you had to have these type of shoes, this type of shoes, this type of shoes to be fly. Mm-hmm. Just a name on a shoe would be something. But me, I never really got into all that. And I had certain things I liked to wear just because it was dope to me. But all my stuff at the time came down. It was hand-me-downs for me. A lot of it, not all of it. I had hand-me-downs, and I shopped at Goodwill. So I never had, like, new clothes. I always had new old clothes.
Mm-hmm. They knew to you.
Yeah, they knew to me.
They knew to you.
Like, or a cousin that had something, they passed down to me, and I have to take it. And that's the kind of stuff I didn't like. Well, come on, man, your cousin gave you those. You have to wear those.
Yeah. The hand-me-downs was something serious. Well, back in our day, hand-me-downs was something that was normal.
That was normal, natural.
That was something that you just naturally actually... I ain't gonna say even if you had money, because I don't really know nobody back then that had money. It was a normal thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, ooh, you wear something. Like honestly, like you would see family in school, and you would know they brothers, and you would know...
They switched
them outfits, you know what I'm saying? Like, the brother had on that outfit yesterday, now he got the other one on today.
Nah, mine was a little bit different, because my siblings were much older than me, so I never got to wear their clothes. I didn't get to wear my brother's clothes until I was in high school. My brother's 13 years older than me, but he would loan them to me.
Right.
It was different, but when I was in I'm going to let you talk, Mill, but I got shit that's funny still. When I was in elementary school, the sucky thing is, I had guy cousins and girl cousins, and my mom would always, like, the girl cousin would give me her stuff or give my mom her stuff to give to me. And then my mom would make me wear some of that crap. It didn't look like girl stuff, but I will never forget.
I'll talk to moms about some of your
stuff. Please do. But I never forget this. I was in fourth grade, and it was these green pants. It's like these straight green pants. You remember Dickies?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know the tan, right?
Yeah.
Could you imagine something that's like light, like a, I can't think of the color green, like a, not a lime green. What's the darker color?
Neon green?
Almost like a neon green. So that's the pants I had gotten. I didn't want to wear those pants. I was not going to wear those pants. I did not like the idea of even wearing them, because I knew what was going to happen. I didn't like the pants. And so and then back then, I walked to school with my friends, and my mom made me wear the daggone pants. And she even told my brother, she says, make sure Stephen wear those pants after I leave to go to work. So I wore these daggone green pants It was green slacks, stiff, like they had starch for days.
Oh my God.
And I go to school. So when I told my friends, I lied to them. Because I said, I was like, oh, I got paid $5 to wear these. That's what I told my friends. And in reality, I got paid $1, which was not a lot of money.
Right.
So I had to lie to make it sound like that's why I'm wearing these. It's not, right. Nothing else. That's the only reason I'm wearing these.
It's
so,
not a fashion. It's not so, what I like.
So the funny thing is, I go to school. The only time it's ever happened, I'm in fourth grade. Back then, we had like three or four different fourth grade teachers and fifth grade teachers, right? So I go to class, and the teacher's like, hey, Stefan, here's some papers. I want you to take these to all the fifth grade classes. So I go to the fifth grade class. The first one I walk in, everybody starts laughing. Nice pants, ha ha ha. Like, TV. So after that class, I threw the papers in the trash. I went back to my class. I couldn't handle it.
You could have had the first class reaction.
No, because I already felt bad about it. Everybody already laughed at me when I went to school. And then, like, then I'm in
fourth
grade.
They go to all the classes.
Yeah, so then I'm in fourth grade, so I'm definitely going to get picked up by the fifth graders.
Right.
And when I walk in, they all, like, it was a roaring laugh. It wasn't like just a one person laughing. It was like the whole class laugh, like I was a comedian. But I wasn't. I just wanted these stupid green pants on that my mom made me wear. It was embarrassing. So, yeah, I dropped the papers off. And after that, I went and dumped the other papers in the trash. I'm not going back. I'm not going to any more classes. I can't. And I went back to the classroom. Bobby and I don't know what kind of important papers they were. If they were important, I don't know what happened to them. I don't know if the teachers got new ones. I don't know.
Oh my goodness. That's what happens.
And so I'm sitting here as I'm talking, and I'm looking at my son. I would definitely want to bring this up. This is the coolest I've seen him look since I've known him. He looks like a normal teen. What I mean by that, he's wearing a hat, you know, fitted cap turned to the back. He's got the Rough Riders necklace on. He's got some jeans, some Puma socks, dope shirt.
Polo shirt.
Yeah, he looks cool.
Polo bun shirt.
And the reason I can say this is because he's my son, and also most of the time he dressed like an old man. That's his particular style.
Mm-hmm.
That's his style. But I've raised all my kids
to be different.
To be different, to be free. But my kids, from what I'm told and what I see, they're the freest kids I know. Like, they're free to be who they are. They don't give a damn about what people think about them.
Mm-hmm.
I even pick on him. I bully my son. He don't even care. Because he's wearing a George Michael earring. Those who don't know George Michael, he got
I was going to bring him the George Michael earring.
Yeah, when he told me he had a girlfriend, I was happy it was a girl. And I said, man, I was a little concerned because he got the George Michael earring. I literally told him that.
Like, I need you to Google George Michael so you can understand what we're talking about.
But the fact is, my son, he dresses old, like an old dude. Take off your hat.
Like they can see.
Because now he got these weird little twisty things in here. He's not even ashamed of it.
Nah. That's the beautiful part, to not be ashamed
at all. That's
what
I'm saying. He's cool. What do you wear? I pick him all the time. Like, dude, what you wearing that for? Man, you dress like an old man. And he's fine with it. That's his style.
Remember, I'm going to read something off Wikipedia. And I'm gonna ask you this question because you're a teenager, and I just want you to tell me if what they're saying is true. And there's one specific part. It says, a bullying culture can develop in any context in which humans interact with each other. This may include school, family, the workplace, the home, and neighborhoods. This is the part right here. The main platform for bullying in contemporary culture is on social media websites.
I don't necessarily think that's true. Cyberbullying is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's the most, what did you say?
The biggest avenue of where do you think it is? Because, you're a teenager, you in school. You know, where do you think, like, bullying, where do you see it most often?
Well, I usually see it at school, but it's usually playful. Like, people are, like, talking about, like, roasting each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, they usually know each other and, like, friends.
Okay. So why would you say, why would you say, like, social media isn't, like, a big avenue? Because they saying right now, people are getting more bullied on social media than they are in school. It's just easier. It's just the easier avenue to do because you can hurt somebody's feelings way across another country somewhere just because it's social media.
What I've seen so far, like, I know in some cases people have been getting cyberbullied, but mm-hmm. it's like, I know more people at school that have been getting bullied.
Okay.
I know that have got cyberbullied.
So what's the most extreme case you see in cyberbullying?
Somebody was talking about how my friend should, like, because they're, like, Mexican, how they should go back to their country. And,
oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just certain stuff they wear, their culture.
And what about in school?
Well, one of my friends got bullied for just being her, like, wearing the type of clothes she wears, because she likes to wear this, like, cape to school sometimes.
Seriously? Like a real cape?
It's like, she has this Harley Quinn shirt with an attachable cape.
Mm-hmm.
and she likes to wear that a lot. And people were picking on her about the phone she had because it wasn't like an iPhone or like an Android. It was more like one of those little prepaid.
Right.
Okay. Do you have a phone?
Yes.
You do have a phone. That's right. Is your phone like a big dope iPhone?
No.
Do you have service even?
No.
So, and I'm not trying to be funny and ask you, because you know how I am with you and how I am, period. So you can expect some weird and hard questions, I guess. How is it that you're not getting bullied?
I just don't care. And typically when people don't care about getting bullied, like, people will just say stuff. Now, if somebody touched me, that's a different thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But usually people just saying stuff, I just ignore it, and they just stop because they don't get the satisfaction of hurting my feelings.
Right. So you don't give them that satisfaction, let them know that you even bother. So they find it's not entertaining to them because they're not getting a rise out of you, pretty much.
Yeah. So some other stuff about you. You're 16 years old. And what music do you listen to mostly?
80s pop.
80s pop. That includes who? George Michael,
Cyndi Lauper, Tears for Fears, INXS.
And are you ever ashamed about that?
No.
Even though I pick on you about it. I'm your dad and I pick on you about it. You're not ashamed?
No.
Doesn't bother you. Why?
I like the music I listen to. Nothing you can say can make me not like the music I listen to.
True. But it doesn't even hinder you from playing it around me, because a lot of people who get bullied, they might like a certain thing, but they won't put it out there like that and continue doing it. They do it behind closed doors, basically.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? But you don't care.
I don't know. I just really don't care what you think about my music.
That's cool. I love it. What about your shoes and your boots and the stuff, the old man outfits? Listen. I'm not exaggerating when I say this. Yeah. He admits that. But he dresses like Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Yeah. He does dress like Mr. Rogers on purpose. I can buy modern clothes, but he likes to dress like Mr. Rogers. When I say Mr. Rogers, he had the little button-up sweater. Seriously, he dressed like Mr. Rogers. Like, they had the old, what they had the other day at school.
They had Cradle to the Grave, which was basically dressed like a baby or dressed like an old person.
So he dressed like an old person. No one knew the difference.
No one knew the difference. Yeah, he's how he dressed. That's how he normally dressed.
Yeah, like old person.
Oh, my goodness. I just caught on to that.
Yeah. So what about your siblings? Are they the same way as you do? They not care? I know Tam don't care about nothing.
Yeah, Tam's just indifferent about everything.
Mm-hmm. But so what would you attribute to that? Do you think, okay, let me ask you this, because, and I'm not trying to sway you one way or the other. I'm just saying, because I know how I raised you, but it don't mean anything. So you're fine with being who you are, and it doesn't matter what people say about you in school at all?
No.
Does it hurt your feelings?
No.
All right, let me ask you this. Do you have any friends that are bothered with being bullied?
Not anymore.
Okay. Tell me why not anymore.
I had this friend that was being bullied. I was just talking about her, the one that wears the cape with the phone. Mm-hmm. And I told my mother about it, and she told the girl's mother about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl's mother, I guess, found out who was bullying her.
And they jumped her, right? No, good, I'm sorry. That's our day. That's being put. But go ahead.
I think she cussed her out or something at the school.
The girl's mother did?
Mm-hmm, probably.
So the girl's mother bullied somebody. That can go back and forth. Someone cussed my child, someone grown. I'll be up at the school trying to cuss somebody else's parent out.
All right, let me ask you this. How would you help out a friend who is struggling with being bullied? Like they don't have the confidence that you have, so they actually do care about what others say, which is why they always in their feelings when people don't like what they wearing or stuff like that. Like, how would you encourage a friend your age that, you know what I'm saying, that is going through that, to help them get to where your mindset is?
I guess I just keep telling them that it doesn't matter what they say because they have no control over you.
Come on, bro. Come
I
on.
Like that. Come I like on. That.
Make me proud
I
like again. That. So I got ready to
make me proud again.
Yeah. I'm starting to pick on you about your George Michael era, you know? I know you don't. That's this cool thing about it. But so what would you tell a parent that had that same time? Because, like I said, we got people in our family to do the same thing.
Yeah.
What would you tell that person if they came to you saying, how should I handle it? Or do you think that's the right way to handle it, the way they handle it? You know, buying stuff to cater.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's the right way. Mainly because it's just enabling them to continue to be insecure about what they wear.
Okay. I can definitely agree with that.
I agree with that. Okay. So how does that make you feel to know parents do that or feel they need to do that?
It's kind of sad for them because you're spending all this money on, I guess, the best brand names when the product could possibly not even be that good. Like, I get my shoes from Walmart and they're still super durable.
And he wants them from Walmart. And that's cool. I'm just saying. Come on, keep going. Sorry.
Like, I got some FUBUs that I wear, and then I have some just regular plain old...
For us, by us, if you people don't know what FUBU means. Yes, that's back in me and Steph's era. For us, by us.
Now they sold them at Walmart.
Damn. They was black owned. LL and a couple other folks owned the company. Just a little knowledge. My bad. He said FUBU, he took me down memory lane.
Mm-hmm. I got these tennis shoes I wear. They don't have any brand name on them at all. Just no logo at all. I wear those. I don't care. People don't usually say stuff about it because a lot of times people just don't care.
And I think at the end of the day, what you're teaching your kids about anything is...
Go ahead. I just saw something that touched on both points.
What I'm hearing from him is like, man make the clothes, clothes don't make the man. That's mm-hmm. what I hear when he's talking. Mm-hmm. What that means is, whatever you put on, you give it value. It doesn't give you value.
Right.
Because if you feel like this stuff give you value... And you can't get that, then you lose your whole self-worth.
You're labeling the wrong thing. You need to be labeling yourself as the actual value.
Yeah, because people buy, you know, expensive cars, they buy the dope shoes, mm-hmm. the watches, and a lot of them are very insecure. That's why they buy them, because mm-hmm. it's the insecurity there. You know me, and it's not me bragging on me. I like to have a doper car than I have, but I'm content with my 2006 Honda Odyssey.
Right.
You know, before that, I had a 95 Honda Accord.
Right.
You know, but I do understand that people add value. The car doesn't tell people who I am. Some people might look at it that way, but I'd rather be measured by the content of my character versus what I have on or what I don't have on. Mm-hmm. You know, now it's the difference between being looking nasty and being unpresentable.
Right.
But I'm typically content with what I wear.
Right.
But anyway, it's not even about what I'm wearing. I don't know. We just talked about that. But I'm telling him when he's somebody with no name shoes, nobody picks him. I guess because he's confident.
And I think honestly, I think people. It's just like, I mean, it is a bullying thing. It's an actual, I was bullied pretty much the whole time I was living. I was growing up because just the neighborhoods. You go from one neighborhood, you know, one gang, you go to a neighborhood, it's another gang. And then when you, somebody like me that ain't a part of nobody's gang, you know, it's like you catch the most heat because everybody know you neutral. But you still got to walk through these neighborhoods just to get to the store, just to get to the school or something like that. So, you know, getting beat up just about every day, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got beat up every day going to school. And I just got fed up. I just got tired of getting my behind whooped. That was my intervention was that last behind whooping I got. That was my father. I couldn't even go home and tell my pops I was getting beat up because he was gonna whoop my behind.
Yeah, that's how they did it in the 80s.
Yeah, so it wasn't no you come home and if I got into a fight and lost, my father wanted to see the other dude because some dude he needed to have a scar or something on his body to say he was in a fight. Mm-hmm. So my father didn't care if I lost. The dude needed to look like he was in a fight though.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So I couldn't even go home and tell pops what was going on. But my bullying stopped when you know that last behind whooping, man. And I never forget like sixth grade or seventh grade coming home from school and some other dudes tried to fight me again. And the sad part is. Had a Puerto Rican friend, and they was trying to get him to cross over to the gang, and they chose me to be the one he had to fight in order to get in with his close friend. Mm-hmm. And the sad part is like he's the one that caught all that buildup. My actual friend, you know what I'm saying? But that was the day where they stopped. Mm-hmm. They stopped bothering me after that one day, and it took for like 2 years, like you know, for me to like get to the point of tired. Because I'm thinking the minute I swing. I'm gonna be in the hospital. It's too many hands and feet that's gonna be stomping me out. So I let that scare me for a long time. But after get my behind whooped for so long, I'm like, look, this is the equivalence of an ass whooping for about 2 years. You know what I'm saying? Like I felt everybody's feet and hands. You know what I'm saying for a long time. So my body got numb to getting beat. So it didn't even matter.
Yeah.
At this point, but after that, it stopped. And then you know so. the physical bullying stopped. I didn't know about verbal bullying stuff till I moved down here and then see people clowning you about your outfits and stuff like that. So that only bothered me because my mom didn't have the means to give us to look apart like the rest of the people down here. Mm-hmm. Other than that, like I said, I came from where up north. Nobody cared. So it didn't matter. Nobody cared what you looked like. You know what I'm saying? Nobody cared what I looked like. So it was just a, oh, that style is hot. It's just weird, it's eclectic, but it's hot because I ain't never seen that before.
That was me. I dressed differently in school. I mean, I always dressed differently. You know, well, actually, I take that back. When I first got to high school, I came down. My high school, first high school year was down here, too. And so I dressed like everybody else. I did it because I liked the way people dress. I mean, I liked the way, so I had the Guess jeans and Nikes and stuff like that. And those were my good days and my bad days. I just wore regular clothes. I guess regular non-name brand clothes. Mm-hmm. And then I wore what was in. But by the time I got to, like, 11th grade, I just started hooking up my outfits differently. Like, I had my whole Nike fetish. Everything had to be Nike for me. But even with that being said, I would put a jersey on, over a turtleneck, wear a cap. And some people thought, yo, you fly, man. Like, what the F is you wearing? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm wearing what makes me comfortable. Yo, Steph, that boy be dressing. Mm-hmm. But I had my own style. That's how I did it. And I think this breeds leadership, honestly, when you're able to do you and be comfortable in your own skin. But at the end of the day, when you're buying stuff for kids to not be picked on, all it does is move moves it to somewhere else.
Or and it could trigger that child to run to you every time they feel like some type of pressure is coming on for you to get them something so they can fit in. Now you subconsciously are making your child insecure about the world. Mm-hmm. Because they're trying to buy their way to fit in when it comes to life. Now they 20 and then they 30s and whatnot, still doing the same thing mom and pops did to them when they was younger. So I do want to give some key points on how to prevent bullying.
There you go.
Parents, school staff, and other caring adults all have a role in preventing the bullying. Prevent bullying. Help kids understand bullying. And an example of that is just talking about what bullying is and how to stand up safely. Tell kids bullying is unacceptable. Make sure the kids know how to get help. Keep the lines of communication open. Parents, keep your lines of communication open. Check on your child. A lot of times, kids don't want to just automatically run to their parents and tell them they was teased or bullied and stuff like that. So be mindful to ask your child, how was their day? Read your child's body language and their facial expressions and emotions. The child may say, I had a good day, but pay attention to their actions and stuff like that and see how they act, because they might not just want to, they might not be so eager to tell you what happened to them, but keep the lines of communication open so if they do want to talk to you, they feel comfortable with it. Encourage kids to do what they love. Special activities, interests, hobbies can boost confidence, help kids make friends, and protect them from bullying behavior. I think that's a really good method right there. Model how to treat others with kindness and respect. So, you know, pretty much, and it's almost like the, you know, turn the other cheek, or, you know, it's like, you know, it's, that's almost kind of like spiritual to me. Like, show a bully on how the right way to treat people, or just naturally, you know, just treat people nice. What's another? Encourage kids to speak to a trusted adult. If they feel bullied or see others being bullied, they can the adult can give comfort, support, and advice. Even if they can't solve the problem directly, encourage the child to report bullying if it happens. So even though, you know, we all come from, well, not we all, there's a lot of people come from an era of snitching and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I don't consider that this an area of snitching. I don't consider you reporting that somebody, some punk, whether it's a male or female, who's and let me just say this. This is a sidebar. I feel like every person that bullies is an insecure person, and they see something in you that they can't be or they want, so they bully you because you have it and they don't.
Well, you took the words right out of my mouth, man. I think the same thing.
And that was just a whole sidebar. I didn't even know where that came from, but that's just how I feel when it comes to, because it's definitely an insecure thing, somebody who feels the need to make somebody else feel low so they can feel good about themselves.
Yeah, and a lot of times they do it to take the tension off themselves. A lot of bullies are very insecure.
Yeah.
You know, and they do it to take the tension off themselves.
I believe that. Talk about how to stand up to kids who bully. Give tips like using humor and saying stop directly and confidently. Talk about what to do if those actions don't work. like
you
walking
punch him
away.
In the face.
Right, look.
Just punch him in the face.
Talk about strategies for staying safe, such as staying near adults or groups of other kids. Now, I'm going to give an example of that right there. My son was being bullied in school, and he tried all these. Now, his school at the time had a bully number. They had a bully counselor, and they were real big on anti-bullying. Okay. No, Javon.
Okay.
They was real big on anti-bullying. And they had stuff all over the place. So for about a week, 2 weeks, Javon was getting bullied, and he wasn't saying nothing to nobody. So something, he finally, like, all that pressure build up, he finally wound up going off on the kid. And when he went off on the kid, the teacher saw it but thought he was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the one who wound up going up to the school, and he had never told me about it. So that made me feel some type of way, because I was just like, what am I doing wrong that you can't even come tell me that you're being bullied? And it wasn't nothing I was just doing wrong. He kind of wanted to try to handle it himself.
Okay.
So when it got too much for him, I gave him some kind of like instructions. You know, all the stuff that I was just reading about, you know, what to do, how to stand up. I gave him all that. And I did tell my son straight up, son, you know me. I'm a stickler for handling things on my own if things don't go right the way they want us to do it. So what I'm telling you is follow all their rules. Get in touch with the bullying counselor. Get in touch with the principal if you have to. Let it all be known that this is going on. And y'all have a cop up at the school all the time. Mm-hmm. That's a truant officer, but it's really a sheriff's officer that can be there for that. So handle all of that. So 2 weeks go by. He let 3 department heads know, nothing happened. So when I go up there, I acted a complete fool. So all these instructions is good if the things that are put into place are actually going to be effective to helping your child. Mm-hmm. They had all this stuff at the school that you know what I'm saying, anti-bullying this, but none of it was effective. It took for me to go up there and walk right up there and ask for the principal, because I knew her on a first-name basis, and pretty much go off, like right in the office, you know, all the way to the point where I'm like, I'm not going to put my hands on that little boy, but I'm going to let my son put my hands on him. And I'm like, whoever the male teacher is, you know, if he ever come at my son like that again, we're going to have a whole nother issue, because instead of him investigating what the issue was, he didn't even find out, did my child snap like that because of weeks of being bullied? Mm-hmm. You just saw a reaction and you went straight for the person who was the main aggressor.
Yeah.
But the main aggressor was actually the person being bullied. So it's a lot of context and a lot of dynamics in when you're trying to handle a bullying situation. I will always tell people, if you're in a school where they got anti-bully laws and stuff like that, follow all the laws to the T. Follow everything they say to the T. And if the school is on point, they will get to the bottom of what it is. Because we wind up having a round table with the other parent and stuff like that. And come to find out, just like we saying, the little boy, broken home, no dad, you know, pretty much running his mom into the ground. Mom got 2 jobs and 4 other kids, and he just want to nut up. So, you know, it actually made me feel sorry for her, because the fact that she going through that, and she ain't raised a child to be like that, but he's venting because his father ain't nowhere around. So it'd be a lot of dynamics to a lot of things going on. Some people out there bullying is actually hurting themselves, and it's because they ain't happy what they going through. But that's just a few key points on helping kids understanding what bullying is and then helping them prevent it. I would definitely always say, if nothing else, man, definitely keep them lines of communication open so your child can talk to you. Even would you encourage somebody to talk to you, like another 16-year-old to talk to another 16-year-old about bullying? Do you think it would be a better avenue, them talking to somebody their age that can relate to what they're going through versus an adult?
Yeah, because some adults just don't get it.
So what makes you think that?
I mean,
what do they say to make you think they don't get it?
It's different now. Different ways that people are bullied now.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's why I wanted you here. So tell us. Talk to us.
That's what I just said.
What's the ways? What makes you think, because they don't, that have they said stuff that make you feel like they don't get it? That's what I'm trying to get you to say. I mean, get you to answer. Like you said, adults don't get it. So, you know, like even the stuff me and Putter saying, is that come across like we don't get it because we're from a different era?
No, I think y'all get it because y'all got kids that tell y'all about it.
Yeah.
So when you say they don't get it, like when you say like give us an example of parents that don't get it. Like what is their version? What's your version of like parents that don't get it?
All right. Well, I can give you one example. My mother thought, I was a little nervous about wearing this earring to school at first.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was like, why? It's just an earring. I was like, well, it's a George Michael earring. A lot of people don't get it. And it's a dangly earring. So people might just think I'm gay.
Right.
Yeah, I did.
I know.
I'm playing.
Hey, that's father and son. Don't y'all judge my peoples. That's between them.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
And then she's like, no, they won't. It's just a dangly earring. They wore them all the time. Back when I was in school, I was like, yeah, back when you were in school.
Well, hell, they wore them. I was in school when she was in school, and I still thought it was gay.
Yeah, yeah, we all did. Because George Michael wore it.
Yeah, George Michael was gay.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a George Michael earring.
So that's an example of, like, just a parent not getting it. Yeah. Not understanding. Okay, I get it. It's like, she's looking at it like there's nothing wrong. He's like, no, Mom.
She's
like,
from an adult standpoint.
Yeah.
That's how she looks.
It's an adult standpoint, period. Yeah. Yeah. But, I don't know. I wouldn't say it. I would think that's just somebody who don't get it.
Because
some adults would be like, some adults would actually be concerned like
he was. But then again, I'm an adult. And
you was nervous about the ring.
Yeah.
So like, think about it. So you didn't have the same response as mom had.
Because I thought, when I saw the earring, like,
busted out laughing.
Yeah, I did. I started singing George Michael.
Did he say busted out laughing?
I busted out laughing. I called my other kids and we bullied them together. Like, Tim, come here. Like, oh my God, come here. Look at his earring. And I started singing George Michael songs too. But that's the relationship we have. So I would only have done that had I known. You know, I could only do that because I know he's confident. I know it's not going to really mess up his psyche.
But see, Steph has a habit of doing that to people who have bullying issues. He just don't be knowing that, though. Steph be crushing people's worlds, and he just be playing, and folks really be thinking he's serious, and they be messed up for years and months.
You talking about Caleb?
Yeah.
Hey, Caleb ain't just the only one.
To give our friends.
You've done so many people like that before.
Like I said, he was laughing with me. I thought it was all good.
That laugh was a huge fake laugh.
Like, he told me later. And so now my kids have a talk with all their friends. Listen, he's gonna say some things to you. Don't take it serious. He's just joking. No matter how he looks when he says it, he's just joking.
And I think every time he says something, the person still believes him. They do not look at him like he's joking.
Some people do. And plus, some kids actually have parents like me, so those are the ones that don't even move when I say something. They don't bother them at all. They just look at me, they kind of laugh, and that's it. And they say, my dad does the same thing. So I like those kids, so I don't have to really guard myself
as much. Right, because they get it at home anyway.
Yeah. They probably come over here for an escape. I'm probably messing that up too for them. But anyway, Bill, did you have anything else you want to add?
Not really.
Okay. So what is the best way as a kid to prevent, I mean, like a student in your school? Do you feel like your school, do you feel like your school handles bullying right in a good way? Do you have a good anti-bullying program in your school? If not, what would you improve?
I don't even think they have an anti-bullying program in my school.
Oh my goodness, are you serious?
Okay. Well, I saw a video that your school did about anti-bullying. So they have some kind of program. It's like a reenactment and stuff like that to prevent it. But do the teachers ever talk about it with you, or do they don't have any class? Not class, but do they don't have any like times where they talk about it, or have in the beginning of the school year, or nothing like that at all?
No.
Huh.
So do you think your school is actually on point with like, you know, anti-bullying? And just honesty. Just honest.
No.
Okay. What's the name of school again?
Okay.
You don't have to say. You don't have to say. You can tell me off the air, just so I'll know.
So, what advice would you give kids that are being bullied right now?
Just be confident. Because at the end of the day, nobody has any power over you, no matter what they say.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I want to add this, too. I know me and Pudge feel the same about this, though, and we probably experienced this. It's like, you have to stand up to bullies. You have to.
Mm-hmm.
Because the simple thing is, the way kids are, well, in my time, the way kids are, I think that's how it is in life. It's like, if if one kid see Pudge get bullied tomorrow, or one, like, if Pudge get bullied by one kid today, he let him get away with it. Tomorrow he got two bullies. Next day, three bullies. Next day, everybody feel like they can be, you know, like, he ain't gonna do nothing. I can just beat him up, take his money. I can do this to him. You say this to him. Mm-hmm. So you have to set those standards. So, but when it comes to bullies, bullies ain't used to people standing up to them. They're not.
Right.
So when you stand up to them, if you stand up to them once or twice, that'll cut it back a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And if you just nut up on him one time like his son did, that'll probably deter you from being bullied from anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, I had similar experience. I never got jumped in school. I always had a fear of getting jumped in school, so I didn't stand up at times like I should have. And then it prevented people from picking on me. You know, I was goofy, I was clumsy, I was silly. You know, I was funny too, but because of all that, and I was a smart kid in a school in the hood. Like, the projects, like, everybody at my school, majority of them were in the projects. So they didn't have the same type of mindset I had. So I got picked on because of that. Got picked on just because I was simply different. But by the time I got to eighth grade, I ain't taking no more SHIT from nobody. So I became the aggressor. And anytime somebody, like, I was really the aggressor in hell. Sometimes I probably actually was the bully. So even that case, sometimes you get bullied enough, you become a bully just to keep from being bullied. You know what I'm saying? That's not the best approach. But my approach should have been stand up to the people that's bullying you and leave it at that. But no, I had to beat up people who just looked at me wrong. I had to do spit on me because he thought I threw his book bag in the trash.
Wow.
He thought I threw his book bag in the trash because I act like I did. So either way, but the point being, so even sometimes bullies are people who are victims. Sometimes bullies are victims of bullying themselves.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
They turn into what happened to them.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that who I was becoming. But all I knew was I was tired of being picked on or people acting like they're going to fight me and stuff like that. I got tired of that. So I said, I made my mind. My last year of school, it was my last year in Georgia. I said, this is my last year here. I'm moving. I ain't taking nothing from nobody. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. Everybody that messed with me, whether they meant to or not, they got it. They caught it. But I didn't have nobody else pick on me my last year. At the beginning of the year, I did. But at the end, nah, it was over with. But at the same time, when you are able to stand up for yourself in those ways, it teaches you to stand up for what's important in life, period. You know, not just at work, you know, stand up against people in your family. You know, you don't, it's all different types of forms of bullying. It's not just one type. And when I talk about bullying right now, I'm talking about, well, previously I was talking about physical bullying, but also it's intimidation. Some people intimidate you, manipulate you. Mm-hmm. So it carries over to church, it carries over to work, it carries over anywhere. You know, there's a lot of people being manipulated to do stuff they don't want to do in church. You know, so if you don't ever learn how to stand up for yourself, you'll have people walking over you for the rest of your life.
You will.
Regardless.
You will.
We don't care who they are, where you are, that's how it is. People can pick up on who they can step on, who they can walk over. Hell, you'd be one of those parents that get bullied by your kids.
Right.
You know, have kids take advantage of, you know, you don't want that to be that pushover parent, you know what I'm saying?
Sure don't.
And so, with that being said, make sure you stand up for yourself. Parents, teach your kids to stand up, not to conform, because it doesn't get any easier. And the stuff they learn now will shape them and affect them for the rest of their lives. It's like stuff that happened to us traumatizes us kids and affects us for the rest of our lives.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Plus, you ain't even paying attention no more.
Because no, I'm reading some other stuff trying to see if I can find me a couple more pointers.
Okay.
But go ahead.
That's all I got, though. That's my advice to the parents. But to people who, I don't know. I don't know how to give advice to people who feel like they need to buy stuff for their kids to keep them from being picked on, because I don't think that prevents them from being picked on. I think it prevents them from being picked on for the one thing they're buying. You know, and I don't know. I just feel like you should maybe. I guess my advice is to teach your kids to stand up for themselves, and also teach your kids that, you know, your worth is not in what you're wearing. You know what I'm saying?
Your worth is not in what you're wearing.
Yeah. You know? Because I look at these celebrities, and most celebrities I see undressed, they dress in stuff I think it looks horrible. Now listen, I've seen celebrities dress and stuff that they would have got picked on for if they did it in school. You know, like I said, Andre 3000, you know, they call him a fashion something now. But I remember seeing him come out on stage, like I said, he had ski boots, a long fur coat, and I forgot else what he had on that day. And it's like, and oh, some shorts. Now, had he been in school, what's wrong with your parents? You know, he'd have got picked on.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he would have cared. He probably wouldn't have.
Yeah.
But celebrities dress weird, you know? But anyway, I saw a picture with Pac. He had a shirt that just had sleeves. Mm-hmm. Had like a collar that just had sleeves.
Right.
That is the weirdest thing. So, but like I said, when you get money, you dress weird. But either one, point being, the thing about celebrities and artists like that, they're not that self-conscious where they allow people's opinions to affect how they think and how they operate,
mm-hmm.
in the point where it hinders them. And I think when you do that, you hinder your kids' own creativity. Therefore, you hinder their potential. Because nobody, you know, when you try to be like everybody else, you don't succeed in life. It's because everybody already had that. What are you bringing to the table that the other million people didn't bring to the table? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Bring yourself. Like, I saw Lady Gaga wore a freaking meat dress. When I say meat dress, it's a dress made out of meat.
Yeah.
That was awful. Awful.
Yeah.
But either way, moving on, that's my advice for y'all. Please understand and teach your kids their worth is not wrapped up in their things, material things. Material things will leave at one point. What happens to the point where you raise them like this and that you gotta have to fly his shoes, you gotta have to fly his clothes, and you lose your job? Now you stress and depressed because you can't provide for them. Now your kids don't know how to handle stuff because they can't. Their mom ain't buying enough. They getting picked on every day because they wrapped up. That's wrapped up in their self-worth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I'm not saying send your kids to school bummy, but just let them know the importance, you know, is not in always in the clothing. And how they present themselves. Like I said, I got a son who dressed like an old man. He's fine with going to Goodwill. Emil, are you happy?
Yeah.
Are you free?
Yeah.
Do you feel like we should buy you Jordans and stuff like that, or dope cell phones?
No.
So if you didn't have a cell phone right now, you'd be completely fine. You wouldn't have any issue with your self-worth?
I wouldn't have an issue with my self-worth, but I do appreciate having a cell phone.
I understand that. Yeah. I got you.
So, did he put that all the way out there?
So does anybody ever ask you the same question we ask, like, yo, why don't you care what people think?
No.
Do they talk about you in school? I would talk about you in school. I talk about you when you come home, so I know if I went to school, I would talk about you because you dress weird, but nobody ever say nothing to you, or you're just so caught up in being who you are, you don't even hear it.
I mean, mainly that, but one kid said something about my hair, I just ignored it.
Yeah.
Because I always have an afro.
Because
I always wear my afro to school. I like it.
Yeah.
There's my cool earring and all that. I have this leather jacket. It's fun.
And then so you said it's fun.
So
it's
you,
fun.
You dress like a...
And then this kid was like, hey, get that kid over there. He was talking about me, get me. And then he was like, hey, do you know Michael Jackson? I was just like, I just looked at him, gave him the weird look. And I just turned away.
Stupid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And bullies look stupid sometimes when they do that kind of stuff. Like, you walk in through minding your own business. Like, you know? But anyway, if you're a bully, man, you corny. I'm sorry. It's no way around. If you're bullying people, stop bullying people. Stop being a punk.
Yeah,
own just, who you are.
Get you some help, some counseling. Lay on, sit on somebody's couch or something. You know, talk. I would give the bullies the same advice that they give people who are being bullied. You know what I'm saying? Go talk to somebody. You know what I'm saying? Talk to somebody about what it is you're going through, or why is it that you feel the need to harass and belittle other people. I mean, you know, talk to somebody.
And teachers out there, if y'all see that stuff happening, handle it. Address it. Talk to the kids. Pull the kids aside. But I think we need to be in a generation where bullying is a shameful thing.
It should be. I think, man, right now you got people, man, who... don't even want to teach. They just going to school for a paycheck. Mm-hmm. So a bullying is something, you know.
Ain't
something,
on their radar?
Yeah, ain't on their radar. Like, you know what I'm saying?
So we got more than one problem, huh? Well, we can't fix everybody's problems on Crosstalk, but I can tell you what it'd be this Friday. But no, well, that's what we got on the show, man. If y'all got any comments, questions, concerns, hit us up, Crosstalk, at crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought about the show. Mm-hmm. What you think about any episode. What you want to hear, what you want to talk about on the show, what you want to talk about. What question, what we say that upsets you? Because I know we got to be ruffling some kind of feather. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We on Facebook, Crosstalk with a K. We on Twitter, Crosstalk with a K. I don't even chat to Twitter. I'm sorry. We on Twitter, but don't hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on Facebook. Email us. Call Pudge personally, because he puts his phone number out all the time.
That lies. Just to let y'all know that lies.
So, Ramil, since you're on the show, I'll let you do this. I'll put you in the spot and let you pick the topic of our next show. So, what you want to talk about? Go.
Alright, give a list I can look through?
No, that's a joke. I just want to see what you're going to say. I thought he got
right.
Good job. I'll just mess with you, man.